Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Great Divide. Alan Jacoby, your host. I'm here today with a special guest who founded a political movement last year in Long Island, New York, where I'm from, that's gained national notoriety called the Long Island Loud Majority. The mission of Long Island Loud Majority is to create this intense energy among patriotic American voters and to bring that energy to the voting booth and not to be afraid to speak up. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce the founder of Long Island Loud Majority, Sean Farriff. Sean, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. Thanks for having me on.
It's an honor for me to have you here. It really is. I've followed these rallies. Life happens, and I haven't been able to attend any. I plan to, especially the 14th, but it's amazing what you guys did and just took it on a national stage. So tell us what Long Island Loud Majority is, what made you start it, and you know, let's do it. Let's just talk about it.
It's cool. So as everyone wants to know, like, they always ask me, what is it? How did it start? And it's an interesting story. I've been very interested in politics for a while, and I've always been patriotic, right? Whether I was 5 years old or I was in fifth grade and 9/11 happened or whatever it was, I was always very patriotic. I always loved this flag. I always said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, hand over the heart. We're Jets season ticket holders, my family, so. Every football game that we went to, we always stood for the national anthem and sang along. You know, patriotism is something that has always been a part of me, young, old, whatever. So going through high school, the indoctrination worked. I was indoctrinated. I was a bleeding heart liberal, big Obama fan, not afraid to say it because eventually I came home through experiences in college, right? It was one conservative professor changed my political leanings. But the patriotism never left, right? And it went from I was a Democrat who loved the United States to I was a Republican who loved the United States. And that love of the United States is what made my passion for politics get a lot more intense. So after 2016 and after Trump won and kind of invigorated this base of conservatives that is generally been looked at as a bunch of voters, you know, right. The past
old white men,
you know, whatever you know, it's even in the name, the GOP, the grand old party, right? Yeah. Like that name is not going to get the college student excited. No. Right. It had to be explained to me that, hey, this is the party of patriotism, you know? Oh, sure. It's the party of patriotism. I'm a patriot. Okay. So 2016 happened. All the polls are wrong. My mind is blown. All the rules were broken. Trump won. Fantastic. The idea of the silent majority really took hold after 2016 because all the polls had a loss. Right. New York Times said 98% chance Hillary Clinton was going to win. New York Times. You know? People saying 100 million to one. Some of them were in the FBI, which is shameful. Yeah. They're not going to be held accountable for whatever reasons.
I didn't think he was going to win. I honestly did not think he was going to win.
In 2016, I didn't think he was going to win either.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to win. Absolutely.
Truth be told, in 2016, it took a while for me to warm up to him. I loved Rand Paul. I still do. Matter of fact, I have his book right here, Taking a Stand. Really good.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. He was my first choice. Ted Cruz is my second choice. Donald Trump was my third choice. Okay. And again, I'm not afraid to say that either because my thought process was when Trump jumped in, this guy's making a mockery of it. He's Trump. He's never taken anything seriously in his life. You know?
He's not a politician. He's a billionaire. You know,
He's an eccentric billionaire who says crazy things. But the crazy things, when you started to listen to them, weren't so crazy. I'm like, whoa. He wants to build a wall on the border. Like, I literally said that in one of my college classes in 2012. I was like, hey, I'm going to trigger these liberals. Before that was a thing, I did it. Right? And I said, I asked the professor, I said, do you think we could reform immigration and create jobs by doing a massive construction project, the border wall? Oh, you're a racist. I said, I'm not a racist. Right. It's a real question.
Anyway. And not to interrupt you on that, just to speak on that, the wall. How many Democrats back going years back have said we need to strengthen the border? I believe Joe Biden even said years ago, we need to build a fence. Chuck Schumer said it. They all said it. Obama.
Biden, Schumer, Pelosi, Obama, they all said it.
All of them. But it wasn't racist then.
No, now it's racist because it's Orange racist. Man, because Orange Man bit.
Boogeyman, Orange Boogeyman, absolutely.
He's the Boogeyman, he's the Orange Man, he's Bigfoot, he's Sasquatch. If you're in Louisiana, he's the Rougarou, he's all these things.
The Rougarou, I like that.
So the silent majority, although all the polls were wrong. So where did these people come from? They weren't. They certainly weren't vocal about it. The polls are wrong. Right. Silent majority. And it always felt cool to be a part of that kind of clandestine kind of undercover, you know, oh yeah, sure. We're here. But then push started coming to shove, and then push, and it was like push after push. It was, oh, you're a collusion. Oh, you're, you know, you're Russian. You're a Nazi. You're a racist. Yeah. You're that's a white supremacist. Yeah. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're an Islamophobe. You hate this group. You hate that group. I'm like, and Bongino is one of my idols.
I liked it.
Dan Bongino, it says, if there's a word that you can put ist or phobe on the end of,
yeah,
you're bound at some, if you're conservative, you're bound at some point to be called it by liberal. He goes, we're just all istophobic phobophobes, right? So at some point in time, enough had to be enough. And quite honestly, listening to Dan Bongino, was like, he kept talking about these new rules, right? The we win, you lose. We have to take action. We can't keep just relying on, you know, showing up at the polls, silent majority. So I was at a boat parade, fast forward 2020. I was at one of those boat parades, right? You know, I don't have a boat, but I went to watch it. I have a drone, and I went to watch it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I figured I'll go get some footage. It'll be cool. Sure. I'll post the pictures. It's great. It'll show you the silent majority. Look at all these boats. So, beautiful day. They're doing the boat parade, Shinnecock Inlet. I drive down there. It's like the first week I have my truck, my new truck. And I drive down there, and I'm looking for a place to park. And it's like the Hamptons, so you can't park without paying $900.
Of course.
You know how it is. Because, you know, whatever. So I find a spot. It's right next to a Coast Guard station. And I'm like, maybe a little risky to fly the drone here. Let's do it anyway. I'll fly it over the water. They'll probably leave it alone.
Right.
There was no signs that said you couldn't do it. So I did. So I set up. I get in the truck. Take a little folding chair, throw it in the bed. Put my Bluetooth speaker out to put the music on a little low. I see all these other cars that are parked in this area. Now, it's a nice day, so I'm like, I don't know why these cars are parked here. They could be parked here because it's a beautiful day.
Right.
Or maybe they're here to watch the boats. I don't know. I saw one couple get out of their car with Trump flags and walk all the way on top of the Pontiac Bridge, or whatever that bridge is called, if that's what it's called, Ponquag Bridge.
Ponquag.
Over Shinnecock Inlet, and they were standing there with the flags. I'm like, well, they're here to watch the parade. And someone, like, yelled at them on the in the street, and they were like, USA. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, those are Trump supporters. I know these guys. Now, I'm sitting there, and I go, you know what? I wonder what all these other people are parked here for. I don't know. I'm thinking they're here for Trump. Why else would they be here? But it's a nice day. Right. I'm certainly not going to walk up to him and be like, well, are you here to watch the Trump thing? Because you say it's the wrong person these days.
Oh, forget it. Don't be throwing bottles at you. Yeah.
So, I say, you know what? There's only one way. I'm just going to put my flags up. I'll put them up. So I put my Betsy Ross flag up, and I put my Trump flag up. And then I said, you know what? Screw it. What's the worst that can happen? Someone's going to yell at me. I'm just going to tune them out. I'm going to ignore them. So I took my big Bluetooth speaker, and I cranked it, and I put the Trump rally on from the night before, sort of blasting Donald Trump. And everybody comes over to the truck. Oh, you're here to watch the parade too? I'm like, really? Everyone? Wow. So I go, holy crap. This is the silent majority. This is literally the silent majority. It's right here.
Right. A lot of people.
All they needed was one sign, a flag, and a little bit of noise, right? And everybody felt comfortable
right
walking to them.
they were okay to say they were Trump supporters. They
were like, oh, that guy with the flags and the loud noises, that's a Trump supporter. I'm going to go over there, right? And I'm like, I feel comfortable now. Oh, he's being expressive. We could be expressive. Ooh. So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, great. So I put the drone up, and this one guy's got binoculars, and he goes, hey, you want to see the boats? I got the binoculars. I'm like, yeah, that's sick. That's great. I said, I'm going to show you something better. Wait till they start going. So I got the drone up. I got virtual reality with this drone. So I said, here, use my binoculars. He goes, whoa, because, you know, it's right under him on the drone. Right. Long story short, great day. Talked to a lot of people down there, like 30 people. And I'm driving home from Shinnecock Inlet to West Babylon. Nice long drive. And I'm like, that was a pretty cool thing. I put the flags up. The people came. Yeah. Like, you know, there's been these boat parades. All these people are showing up together, so they're not afraid on water.
Right.
What about the people who don't have boats? And then I'm like, well, everyone who drove down there have cars, so why don't we do a car parade, a car rally? So the next morning, I was just sitting in bed, and I posted a thing on, like, Long Islanders for Trump, one of those Facebook pages I used to
Yeah.
I said, who would be behind the Trump truck/car parade here on Long Island? And it got like 140 likes by the end of the day. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a decent reaction.
Yeah.
So people start messaging me the next morning. Say, are you serious about this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make an event. So I made an event. And it gains traction over over the course of a week. And to be completely honest with you, I expected about 50 cars to show up to Copeg, to go from Copeg to Shirley.
Right.
It was Copeg to Patchogue and then Patchogue to Shirley. And I get to the lot. Now, an hour early, then I told people to show up, and it was packed. And I was like, oh, uh-oh. Wow. I think I'm going to need the overflow lot. So I had set that up. And what I thought was going to be 50 cars wound up being about 300.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just from putting an event up
from your
bed, and then they showed up.
We get through the whole thing, and we get down to – the final stop in Shirley at Smith Point and Smith Point Marina. And I'm hanging out, you know, I'm talking to everybody, you know, and everyone's question, when's the next one? When's the next one? They're all looking at me. When's the next one? Shit, man. I don't know. I thought this was going to be a one-time thing, to be honest. Yeah. I'm like in 2 weeks, the next one, 2 weeks, I'll make a post in 2 weeks. I'm like, so I made a Facebook group that day, right in the bed of the truck. It was called Long Island Trump Parades at the time.
I remember it. Yep, I saw it.
So I made the group. People started joining. And I figured it was just going to be, you know, a couple here, a couple there, whatever. So now I hop out of the bed of the truck. I'm chilling out. I'm relaxed. I'm still talking to people. And this guy comes over. He offers me a beer. That guy winds up being Kevin Smith.
Okay.
So I meet Kevin right down there, and Heather was also down there. So we all met after the first rally in Copeg. So that's where that bond kind of started. I get back in my truck that day. I drive home. I get back. I look at Long Island Trump Parades has thousands of, you know, hundreds to thousands of joints. And I'm like, well, I didn't have this many people at the thing. So something's going on.
Sure.
I'm talking to Heather that night. I'm talking to Kevin that night. We come up with an idea. We want to go to Greenport. We want to start in Comac. Maybe we want to stop in Riverhead, whatever. I post it. The next day, it blows up. Long Island Trump Parades gets joined like crazy. September 20th, I'm sitting there expecting about 800 to show up. Instead of the 300, we wound up with 3,500. You know, we packed our movie theater parking lot. We were supposed to stop in Riverhead, regroup, and then go to Greenport like the first time where we stopped in Patchogue, regroup, and went to Shirley. I'm getting a call from a writer, a reporter from the Patch. And
okay.
She's telling me that, hey, I'm in your lot in Riverhead. I'm like, all right, cool. She's like, yeah, it's pretty full. I'm like, pretty full? She's like, yeah, like, there's no spots. And I'm like, what do you mean there's no spots? Like, there's no spots? She's like, no, there's no spots. And there's like two other lots that are full too. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh. So I post in the group, change of plans. We are not stopping. There's no room. We're just going right straight to Greenport.
3,500 cars. And you know, I mean, that's massive. I remember seeing pictures of that specific rally. And, it's hard to imagine unless you see the photos of what that many cars looks like. And I just remember seeing photos of the caravan. It's like, and figure 3,500 cars, and there probably was not a lot of solos in those cars. I'm sure those cars were packed.
Exactly. So
it's crazy.
We rolled through Greenport, 3,500. Didn't expect that many. The next morning, well, that night we decided our following rally in 2 weeks was going to be called Operation 10-4 because it was going to be on October 4th. And we were going to go to Trump Tower.
Right.
All right. So, but that night, well, that next day, News 12 had released a story about it, about that rally. They came down, they covered it. I was on TV a little bit, did a hit on there. But what happened, and I'll never forget the way this felt. I got a call from NPR. I got a call from NPR about the rally, but they called me about 10 minutes after I started. I was on Twitter, and someone goes, "Hey, look at this." And they sent me a thing. And it was the News 12 story about our rally that was retweeted by President Trump.
That's right.
He wrote, "Thank you." And yes. I was like, I had the phone. I did one of these. I was like,
weren't expecting that.
Like I got like
I remember that tweet. I remember that.
I was like what?
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
And then NPR called and I was like, I don't know if you saw. And they're like, yeah, like that's kinda cool. I'm like, kinda cool. President, damn it. Like listen, I don't care what you think of him. That's the president. That's the most powerful man in the world said thank you. Like
when the president of the United States retweets, it's kind of a big deal.
Right. So I'm excited. We'll do that. Now we're getting ready for the city. And it was the following week that I renamed the group because it was this rumor going around that any group with the name Trump in it was going to get deleted by Facebook.
Right.
So I'm going to rename the group. So I renamed it Long Island Loud Majority and put a whole thing for the name change, you know.
Right.
It's not just about Trump and parades. It's, you know, it's about we don't have to be silent. Everyone kept saying silent no more. Wow, we don't have to be silent anymore.
Right. It's just in general. If you're a patriot, you're an American, you love your country, you're into politics and you want to rally. It doesn't not necessarily just for Donald Trump. It could be for anything and anybody, any type of movement. It's Long Island Loud Majority. And obviously it started with the premise of having the Trump rallies and wanting him to get reelected and all of that. And I mean, just the size and it's not just Long Island, Sean. I mean, I from what I see, you influenced people in other states to do rallies similar to yours. I mean, I was on your Facebook page today. You have like 30,000 followers and they're not all from Long Island. You know, a lot of my followers aren't from Long Island. You know, when people listening to this or watching this here, these towns like Copeg and Greenport and Shirley, you know, Long Island is large. Long Island is long, and the pavement that you're covering, and then you know the going to Trump Tower and all that. I mean, this thing, you, I'm sure you probably still sit there right now saying, "Wow, how did this shit get so big?" Like what? Just exploded, and it's getting bigger.
it's reaching a lot of people. I drive Sunrise Highway every day from West Babylon to Shirley for work, and I hit the same path that we took from Seaford to Montauk every day. And I always get flashbacks. I remember what this looked like on October 18th. I remember 10,461 cars on October 18th.
Wow.
You know, now you think about that. Like you said, there's not that many solos, right? So that's two people, three people, four people per car. So I say it's an average of three people per car.
30,000
people. I mean, that is the attendance of a Trump rally. And the crazy thing was, there was no Trump. He wasn't going to show up, and everybody knew he wasn't going to show up. It wasn't like, hey, guys, Trump's coming to Montauk tonight. Get out and drive. They just did it to do it. They did it because everyone felt like they had, like, it was like their almost like it was their responsibility to do something.
Right.
You know, it's like, we've got a time and place to do it. It's our obligation. It's our obligation to do it. And it's continued. It's continued. People are still, first, they still have the Trump flags.
I know.
The guy's not going away.
It's not. The Trump flags are not going away. The
MAGA move is not going away. But even better than that, the fact that Donald Trump was such a figure that engaged people. It has people that normally would not have cared that Andrew Cuomo sent, you know, infected patients in nursing homes. It has those people caring.
Right.
That's what New York's needed, because New York has had a lot of Republicans that just didn't care. It's a lost cause. What's the problem? Well, now you have the loud majority. Now you have a home. Now you have a time. Right. You have a place to care. You have a place to come express yourself.
Right.
And that's
what it's about. Love him or hate him, President Trump, if anything, I believe made more people in this country, especially young people, get involved and pay attention to politics. I know so many people, I'm 42 years old, and even people my age, I've always been into politics since I'm 18 years old, but people, you know, 22, 25 years old, who didn't care about voting. Some people, the first time they voted was either this year or the last presidential election. He really influenced a lot of people to get into politics, whether they hated him for that and they wanted to rally against him, or they really loved what he did and his policies and what he was doing. But yeah, love him or hate him, he got more people into, I mean, look what you did. You said it yourself, you know, you were a victim of college leftism, I call it, and you were a fan of Obama, and look where you are now. And I talk to so many people like that. I've been a Republican my whole life, but you know, and with all of the support that you have and you continue to get, 30,000 followers, and I know because I follow your movement. I know you've run into the haters. I know. And I'm jealous of this. I know you ended up on the Antifa hit list.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. how is that negativity, I'll call it, that anti Long Island Loud majority from, say, Antifa and all that, has it affected anything? Like, even with the cancel culture, you know, we're all regular people. We all have jobs, and you know, with all the doxing and everything, has anybody involved in the movement fallen victim to that attempted cancel culture and any of that? Like, how has that affected him?
Well, there have been folks that are involved with us that have been talked to by their jobs. But at the end of the day, I mean, our group has conducted food drives, you know, toy drive. You know, we've done charitable things. Operation 10-4 was a food drive. We donated 10 truckloads of food, pickup trucks, right in the heart of AOC's district. On that day, we drove down Fifth Avenue. Okay? We did more for AOC's district on that one day than she's done in her entire time in office. On that one day. Okay? And they go, oh, you're making a mess. You know, you're driving, you get a car trap. Well, first of all, Sunday in New York City. Second of all, we're doing something here. We donated a pallet of water that my friend Anthony, who was also a guy who went to Copeg, and I met him at Copeg. Anthony drove into New York City with a pallet stacked, a pallet of water in his pickup. Nice. Into the city, out of the city to drop off the first round of food, and then followed us back in to drop off the pallet of water at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Wow.
Okay, the kid's amazing. Kid, he's 22, but he's amazing.
The Trump rally and the Trump rally at Trump Tower. I mean, that was obviously it was on the news. Did you roughly about how many people attended that? Is that where like 30,000?
No, that was about 300 to 400 cars. And the reason why was I stressed to everybody.
Right.
Copeg was fun. Greenport was fun. New York City is a different playground. It's not. Absolutely. It's a much different environment. We couldn't leave at the same time. We had to leave at 7 a.m, you know?
Right.
I posted a fake route. Nobody knew where they were going. 7 people on the planet knew the route. I had NYPD. NYPD intel. I love them to death. I love the NYPD. They called me. I posted a route that I was going to be going from Times Square to Gracie Mansion. So they called me going, yeah, what time do you think you're going to get to Times Square? And I was like, are you really NYPD intel?
Right.
And once I found out that they were legit, I said, here, I'm not going to Gracie Mansion. I'm not going to Times Square. Well, your event says that. I said, yeah, well, you just told me that counter protesters were waiting for me there. That's why. He goes, oh, it's a dummy route? I said, yeah. He goes, you guys are really smart. I said, well, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. I had them fooled, right? Because we kept that information so tight. No leaks, right? So we get in, and this really pissed me off, but I don't know who did it, but we're driving into the city, and all of a sudden, I get wind of somebody saying ABC7 said you guys are going to Trump Tower, and I'm like, well, how could that have been? You know, nobody said anything to ABC7. They weren't in the parking lot. Somebody leaked it.
They always find out. They always did the greasy media.
It was so funny because most of the parking lot didn't know. I got on the truck. Most of the parking lot didn't know before we were leaving where we were going. And I had to make sure that if, you know, God forbid someone got split off and got lost and then they went down to Gracie, like they're going to get in trouble. There were Black Lives Matter protesters in Antifa down at Gracie Mansion waiting. Not a lot, but enough that could have done something.
Sure.
So I get up and I'm saying, hey, you know, I got bad news. We're not going to Times Square. We're not going to Gracie. They're like, oh, I'm like, we're going to Trump Tower. They're like, oh my God. Right. So, you know, and that was right when Trump had COVID too.
Okay.
So it was like, the timing was like crazy. That one got recognized by Trump's YouTube channel, Donald right. Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Bill O'Reilly, Brian Kilmeade.
It was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Everywhere.
And that's when we were, you know, really embodying this whole idea of loud majority. So. It takes off from there. We're on Fox and Friends on October 25th, going to Eisenhower. You know, we went to CPAC. It was a great time, but we're focused on New York now, obviously. You know, while keeping an eye on things nationally, but we're doing what we could do to make a difference here. Andrew Cuomo's his back's against the wall. It's beautiful because the guy's squirming. Oh, this is not what New York wanted. Okay, it's fine. You know,
Andrew Cuomo is. He's a narcissistic sociopath, him and his brother, and they were that, you know, frat boy mentality. Nobody can touch us growing up because daddy was the governor. And I heard stories about them growing up. They treated women like garbage. You know, those three women, I wholeheartedly believe them. I mean, you don't grab a woman like that that you never met at a wedding by her face unless you know her, you know. I swear the interview they did with that other woman where she says, yeah, the governor asked me to get him a girlfriend. It almost has a Jeffrey Epstein ring to it. I mean, the guy's a piece of shit. He lied about the numbers of the nursing home deaths with COVID. He keeps going.
Apparently, just recently, an hour ago, Fox News is reporting that there are 2 more aides who have accused Cuomo of sexual misconduct.
I haven't seen that yet.
In addition to everything else we had. So this guy's toast.
So, but here's the problem. Here's the problem, Sean. We live in this blue bubble, okay? We live in this – we're in the Democrat heaven here. And he's so sick, he won't resign. And then they just put a poll out. Like, I don't know, there's like 60% of New Yorkers. You know, they just say, you know, Democrats, if he should resign. And they said no. And – you know, I know how politics works. He was attorney general. And when you're attorney general, the only way to move up is to become governor. That attorney general, Letitia James, who she sparked the investigation on the COVID death numbers in the nursing homes. She has her eyes on the governor's seat. So, you know, he's going to run for re-election unless he gets indicted or impeached. The narcissist is going to run for re-election. Letitia James, she's going to figure something out, maybe primary him, who knows. But I'll tell you, if he runs for re-election and he becomes, you know, the Democratic nominee for governor, if he doesn't get primaried out, I'm going to say it right now here, that I think New York's going to re-elect him. The because that's the sick Democratic mentality in our state. Unless people like you and me and every other patriot in New York can band together and move this movement, the Long Island Loud majority, get this guy out. Lee Zeldin, Congressman Zeldin, 1st District, he's exploring the option of running for governor. It scares me a little bit because I don't know if he's a Republican. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm worried about losing his congressional seat. That's how, the politics on Long Island. It makes me nauseous when I just hit his name and I see his smug brother on CNN, So what are you going to do the Cuomo rallies?
Our current current focus is on New York. Take back New York.
Yeah.
Cuomo's making it very easy for us to damage him right now.
Sure.
So
he's doing it to himself.
Here's what I want to see play out ultimately on Cuomo's side and then on our side. I don't want him to resign. I don't. I want him to get stale. I want this state to have Cuomo fatigue by the end of his term. Okay? I want everyone to be just so tired of hearing this guy defend himself. The people are like, go away. Okay?
I hope so too.
And I think we're reaching that point because his approval rating right now is 38%. Okay? And that's as of March 2nd.
Right.
And 64% of the state answers the quote, or 64% of those polled, answered the question, if the election was held tomorrow, would you reelect Andrew Cuomo or vote for someone new? Someone new. Doesn't say Republican. It says someone new. 64% said they would vote for someone new. Now, that doesn't mean a Republican. That could be James. It could be... I agree with you on this too, that Letitia James has her eye on that governor's seat.
100%.
I think why I don't want Cuomo to resign, and I don't think he's going to resign because he's a narcissist, because he believes he's king and God and all of these things.
The Fuhrer.
He's the Fuhrer.
Yeah.
But what I want to see is him go through this entire process, go stale. Okay, go stale. Letitia James is going to continue to unleash information and whatnot to take him down. That's fine. To damage him going into, to weaken him going into primary season. All good. He's going to have to defend himself. He's going to have to fight back. He's got money, in the war chest ready to go for this campaign. Deplete both of their funds. Go right ahead. Deplete make Letitia James spend money to take down Cuomo, and let Cuomo spend money to damage Letitia James. We'll take all the information they throw out there and use it against whoever the nominee is while we rally like hell for Lee Zeldin.
Sure.
You let them do this for a while while we're out there partying for Lee Zeldin, going upstate, downstate, western New York, eastern New York, wherever it is, to gin up support. To put a Republican in office while they're confused and worried about fighting amongst themselves, we're going to be unifying and we're going to be registering new Republicans in the meantime.
That's why
I want to see Cuomo in office. I want to see him stay until 22. If he's the candidate, if he's the nominee, he's to me right now as we stand, he's probably an easier guy to beat than Letitia James.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Because if Letitia James becomes the nominee, she's the next governor.
It's going to be very tough to beat. And I think Lee Zeldin's our best shot right now. And I think if he does decide to run, he should be the candidate. He's a national name. He's been all over the place. People know who he is, whether in New York or not. Long Island loves him. Upstate will love him once they get to know him. That's our job. Hey, Upstate, here. By the way, I'm from Long Island, and this is Lee Zeldin.
And now you got the clown, DeBozo, talking about considering running for governor. I don't think he has a chance in hell.
But do it. But do it. Go ahead. Do it.
It's going to be a circus.
Let it be a circus. You never interrupt the enemy. You never interrupt the enemy in the middle of a mistake.
Absolutely. Let him go. Well, you know, you mentioned AOC earlier. So my prediction with AOC, and this was something that happened. It was a blip in the news a few months back, and it really resonated with me. Chuck Schumer is not getting any younger, and I think that AOC is going to – I think she might try to primary Chuck Schumer.
I think so, too.
And you want to know something. You know, Chuck's been around a long time, but I think AOC could pull it off, unfortunately. And you see AOC, you know, our next state senator, which just, again, it's hard when I say that not to puke all over myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's – things got to change. And what you're doing, it's great. And I hope it gets – I hope now that people realize, and so people realize and they see you out there again, that more people get involved and that Save New York, Take Back New York mission really resonates with people. So I wanted to circle back a minute.
Oh, Jen Psaki. There you go. You work for Biden.
I think she might be the real president. I don't know. The ice queen, the ginger ice queen. No, but I wanted to get did you have an issue when you were really out there with all the rallies with getting your website hacked? Wasn't that a thing? Didn't your website get hacked by a political campaign?
Oh no. Okay, so it wasn't my. This is actually pretty cool. Our website was never hacked. Our website has always been officialoutmajority.com. That's been that. But when we went to buy the domains, we were looking for longislandloudmajority.com, loudmajority.com, liloudmajority.com.
Okay.
And they were all bought. And we're like, how the hell could these be bought? Well, who would buy that? Right? Okay. Well, we didn't look into who bought it. We bought official and started moving with that. Well, I don't know how this happened, but we went on. We were like, so I wonder who has longislandloudmajority.com. So it still works to this day. If you go to longislandloudmajority.com, which is not our website.
Right.
If you go to longislandloudmajority.com, you will be redirected to Joe Biden's campaign website. If you so that, same thing happens if you go to liloudmajority.com, loudmajority.com, even if you spell official wrong, OFFICAL instead of OFFICIAL, you go to Joe Biden's website. So somebody in the Democrats somewhere was buying these domains because we were making enough noise, I guess, that they felt threatened to buy these domains and send them to Joe Biden's website, which is like a badge of honor for me.
Yeah, I mean, they thought enough that you were a threat because of the message you were putting out there that they wanted to kind of strip you up a little bit. So did you say longislandmajority.com?
Longislandloudmajority.com goes to Biden's website. Long Island Loud Majority. Same with liloudmajority.com goes right to Biden's website.
That's unbelievable. It really is. I remember hearing it, and I remember going to it and seeing it, and I was like, donate to Joe Biden. It went to joebiden.com. I couldn't believe it.
It was insane. And it's like, you know what? That's how you know that we made enough noise, I guess, you know.
Oh, 100%.
You're going to buy a domain. Look, I mean, it's a bunch of Republicans, a bunch of conservatives in New York. You would think, you know, oh no, New York's a Democrat stronghold. Why, you know, really?
Right.
So is it really a Democrat stronghold? Would they have wasted the time and resources to do that? I mean, it's not a lot of money. It could be done in 2 seconds.
No, and you know, I think what also part of it that makes it a Democrat stronghold is the lack of registered Republicans that aren't coming out to vote. I think a lot of them are staying home because they're saying, well, does my vote really count? Look what happened in Georgia.
Oh.
Look what happened in Georgia. A lot of Republicans stayed home. Because of, you know, they thought their vote didn't count. You know, I wanted to talk to you about, I want to get to this and then get to your big rally that's coming up in like week.
A week, yeah.
You were you went to CPAC in Orlando.
That's right.
I saw there was a big Trump rally outside there. Like, how was that? You went down there. What did you do? What was the experience like? I saw a lot of photos, but what was that experience like for you guys?
CPAC was tremendous. The three of us have a new phrase amongst ourselves. We say, hey, everyone says when you die, you want to go to heaven. We say, when I die, just send me to CPAC. Honestly, it was, honestly, it's like not even, only 360 days to go. You know, yeah, like for the next one.
Like March 2nd, I believe. Like, I'm going to go.
That's how fired up we are to go again. You know, it was so much fun. And I don't like the heat. I hate it. This weather right now is my thing. I'll walk outside in a short sleeve shirt, maybe a little shirt underneath. I'm fine. The minute I start sweating, 75 degrees, like once it gets to 75.1, it's over. It's too hot.
That's it.
I'm done with it. Like, I'm done with it, right? So I'm in Florida. It's hot, okay? And they're like, oh, it's only February. You know, it's only March. It's not that hot. I'm like, if it's this hot now, I don't want to be anywhere near the state in July. Okay.
And I saw pictures of you in a suit walking around outside by the rally. I saw that.
Forget about that. Yeah, we were suited. We look good. But
You did.
But the experience was great. We met up with Elaine and Joe Thomas, WCHB, Charlottesville, in Virginia. The first thing we did, we get in there Thursday night, go to bed, we wake up. The first thing we got to do, we have a radio interview out of Charlottesville, Virginia.
That's great.
Amazing. You know, so we dropped off a flag for Joe and Elaine because their governor is Ralph Northam. And the flag, obviously, like our flag says, my governor's an idiot. So they're like, that's great. It works for so many states. Yeah, it works for Michigan, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Virginia, New York, Pennsylvania.
California.
All of it. California, you know. So we do the hit there. It's great. You know, and we start walking around Radio Row. We're like, oh, wow, there's Fox News. There's this. Oh, like, oh, wait a second. I know that guy. It's Rich Valdez, Mr. Call Screener, Mark Levin show.
Yeah.
Been on his show twice. And he remembered us, and we got to talking, and we wound up hanging out later that night at the Project Veritas party.
I saw pictures of that. Looked like a good time.
James O'Keefe, who is the most dangerous journalist in the world.
He is.
And what a cool dude. Like, what a really, like, he's a, I don't know if he'd ever, he's a human being. Like, he's a normal guy, James O'Keefe.
Approachable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got security, but
sure.
But to talk to him and like, you know, we were out at this country bar in Orlando. It's called Cowboys. Amazing. Line dance and all that stuff. And there's James O'Keefe in the middle of dance floor line dancing.
That's great.
So what do? We jump in with him. Why not? So I can now say, I can take it to my grave. I line dance with the most dangerous journalist in the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got my retracto alpaca from the party. I have the little white alpaca. It's great. So, you know, it was a great time with them. We went to a Kimberly Klasick event. We met Burgess Owens, Kevin Sorbo. You know, David Zier was putting us on Real America's Voice. We jumped in with our Freedom Media Group, and they have a big project coming. There's just so many connections. The New York Young Republicans that we met down there, Gavin and Vish and everybody else that was down there, they were fantastic. You know, we never met them before.
Right.
But they were a connection we made before CPAC, and we wound up meeting up with them. And, I mean, great group of guys and gals down, you know, in New York City, Young Republicans.
Sure.
Vibrant group, passionate group. Great for our state. It was a great experience, CPAC. And like we say, and like I said, when I die, I want to go to CPAC. And then that rally outside the hotel, Heather was funny. She got up before both of us that morning. And I rolled over out of bed. I was like, Heather's live on Loud Majority. Let me see what's going on. Quite a few people watching the stream, so I'm watching, and I'm like, huh. And she's just walking around like interviewing people, like doing like a man on the street, and I'm like,
sure.
Shit, I'm like, wow, I'm like, this is awesome. So I'm sitting there, I'm like locked into the phone now, right? And she's walking. I'm like, there's a lot of people out there. So I pass
there's
out.
A lot of people.
I come back. She's like, you guys got to come out to the rally. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Kev, we got to put suits on, though. And I don't like the heat. And she's like, no, you got to come out. You got to do it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm going.
You got to.
So Kevin puts the suit on. He's like, I'm going to go out for a little bit. I'm like, all right, fine. So I go out there. And, like, I take three steps, and I'm like, all right, great. The day is shot.
Okay. It's over. I'm soaked.
But I get into this crowd, okay, and when I'm walking back, and just like this, I could have been drenched in gallons of my own sweat.
The energy was crazy.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. First of all, Kevin and myself, we were in suits. Heather had the flag on, like a cape. But we were in suits. Everyone thought we were somebody. They were like, whoa.
You had the flag pin, I saw.
Oh, the flag.
Yeah, I saw it.
The flag pin was given to me by Jim. His name is Jim. His son actually worked in the White House. And that pin, actually, you can't get that pin unless you've been in the White. So it's
nice. Awesome. That's pin. Cool.
But yeah, we were walking around and everyone thought we were somebody, you know, because we were in the suits and, you know, and Kevin was hot. I was hot. I was composed. I was too hot. So we bumped into everybody. Bumped into Daily Caller, 4G on a Blow, you know, J360.
Yeah.
We went across the street. We saw some of the protesters. We talked to them, you know, came back, you know, met a few people who were big on TikTok, which is like, I've had the most fun of my life this week on that app. yeah. You know, the Green Eggs and Ham. So,
yes, you know, I saw yours. Yeah.
The Cat in the Hat. I don't even have any idea how that worked. So it was a great, but CPAC was a great time. And that rally outside was a great time. And there were some people who knew us. Hey, I know I've seen you before. One lady came up to me. I didn't expect this. She goes, are you the guy? I'm like, oh.
Here we go.
Are you the guy who impersonated Trump like the waiter? And I was like, yes. That's my Twitter video. Went viral like in June.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, you're the guy. A lot of potatoes. I'm like, yeah, I did say that. That's great. And Kevin's like, you got to be kidding me. You have fans in Florida? Wow. I guess no.
It went viral.
It is. It's funny. So it was a great time. Oh. It really was. Yeah. It was an unforgettable experience, CPAC.
I'm going to go next year. I said, you know, my goal is I'd really like to be an exhibitor and have a booth and be the have a podcast set up there and see whoever's coming by, grab him and interview him and just have a good time.
Nick Giordano, the professor at a Suffolk Community College, he was there on behalf of his podcast, PAS Report. He's another one. He's great. We were hanging out with him. I'd never met him before this. Great guy. I mean, does a good show. We did an interview with him. People seem to like it, you know. And Nick and Rich Valdez and myself, we were all talking at the Veritas party. It was a great time. It was a fantastic time.
Dan Bongino was floating around. They were all there.
Dan Bongino is the best.
Yeah, he is. You know, just watching the videos, your videos, other videos, I watched every speech I could. You know, Ted Cruz, obviously, Donald Trump, all that. I just, the energy among the people there, like, really got the feeling that, you know, the Republican Party is going to strengthen. Hopefully take a stronghold in the 2022 midterms. Hopefully flip the House and the Senate. I mean, it was really motivational. And you saw there was a lot of young people there, that Trump rally out there. I mean, that was great. Speaking of rallies, you have coming up because, all right, so COVID. And so St. Patrick's Day has a meaning to me. One, because I'm half Irish and I play in a bagpipe band.
Yes, I heard about that, by the way.
Yeah, the Nassau County Firefighters Pipes and Drums. We do, actually, we were one of only two bagpipe bands that played in Donald Trump's inaugural parade. They requested two New York pipe bands, so it was us and the New York City Police Department. So that was an experience itself, being down there and being involved in the inauguration. So cool. It was so cool.
That's so cool.
You know, with COVID, the last St. Patrick's season, you know, my band does, you know, probably seven or eight parades every March, plus the private jobs that we do. Our whole season was canceled. And this year, again, everything is canceled. You know, it's 2 years in a row. And it's, you know, since 1985, since my bagpipe band's been around, we've never had a St. Patrick's Day season canceled. And what you're doing, which you're going to talk about now, is Save St. Patrick's Day in New York, because our, you know, emperor, King Cuomo, asshole, right. Decides, you know, nothing's going to happen again in New York. Everything's going to be shut down. So what are you doing about it, Sean? What's the Long Island Loud majority doing for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, we decided that whatever Cuomo wants us to do, we're just going to, at this point, do the opposite, you know? Yeah, all the way down to I was like, you know what? I'm coming back from Florida. Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to fill out. He always says, you know, the Cuomo. You're supposed to fill out the contact tracing form when you come back from Florida. Yeah. So that's the. By the way, contact tracing is a two-word euphemism for spying.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's the spying form. So I said, you know what? I'm in sales. I deal with rejection all the time. Right. It's the nature of the beast. I'll use my favorite rejection line on the folks who are going to be giving me the paper. Let's see what happens. You know, I'll be nice about it. Nice.
Sure.
There's no reason to, you know, people. Oh, I'm going to flip the guy off. Don't flip him off.
No.
He's just doing his job. Especially his National Guard. I'm not going to flip off the National Guard. He's serving the country.
He's doing his job.
He's doing his job. So I'm walking out of the gate, and guy tries to hand me the paper. And I said, no, thank you, sir. I'm not interested. And kept walking. And that was it. That was it. The guy was like,
before he didn't know what to say.
I was halfway down the terminal. Okay?
He didn't come and chase you and didn't tell you to stop.
If you don't want to do it, don't. Okay? I wear this hat all the time. Where is it? Here it is. I will not comply. Okay?
That's a nice
it says,
hat.
I will not comply. Right? I don't want them to spy. I don't want them to. So, nope. Sorry. No, thank you, sir. I'm not interested. And the guy could have been like, well, it wasn't a question. Okay, but that's my answer.
Right.
You know? I'm not doing that. I'm not playing your game. I'm not doing the whole thing. I'm not turning on the exposure notifications on the phone. I'm not getting tested when I get a cough. It's not happening. Right. Okay, I'm not saying there's no virus. I'm not saying it can't hurt people. We know it can hurt people. As a matter of fact, Governor Cuomo himself, with probably the line of his career, incompetent government kills people. Yeah. No kidding.
Incompetent government does kill
people. In the mirror. So we do the opposite of what Cuomo wants us to do. So it's St. Patrick's Day. It's Pie Day. It's March 14th. So I'm taking pies to the face. Everyone's excited. I said to Kevin and Heather before we went live, I said, oh, you know, I was being like silly. Oh, you know, it's also Pi Day. And they looked at me like, really? Pi Day? I was like, yeah, 314, 3.14.
Right.
Like, don't say that on the stream. I'm like, all right, fine. You want to be a killjoy? So I went, what if I said Pi Day? And it means people get to pie me in the face. They're like, okay, now you can say it on the stream. So I said, okay, good. So that's what's going to happen.
So that's on March 14th. It's a Sunday, right?
Sunday,
it's not on St. Patrick's Day, right?
Right, because on St. Patrick's Day. But New York State has not had a St. Patrick's Day event or will not have had a St. Patrick's Day event in 2 years by that point. Okay?
So what's the event going to be like? What are we doing?
So we're doing a caravan from the Merrick train station to Eisenhower Park. So it's going to be straight. It's going to be Hewlett Avenue. But then up, straight up Merrick Ave, right into the park. And it's going to be whatever flags you want. But I always tell, you know, put the green on. We got the shirts.
Absolutely.
Kiss me, I'm deplorable.
There you go.
Our rally shirt. It's fantastic. Put your Irish flags up. Any green you've got. You want to, you know, whatever it is. Become St. Patrick's Day themed. We're saving St. Patrick's Day. We're giving New York its first St. Patrick's Day parade. It's going to happen 2 years. We're doing it to stick it in the governor's face. Say, hey, you know, we will not comply. And we're doing it to keep that support, keep that momentum going. This is going to be our last rally before spring, March 14th, right. You know, and it, you know, we're meeting at Merrick 10, we're leaving Merrick at 12 noon, and we're going to Eisenhower Park. And it's, you know, Lenny's going to have a corned beef and cabbage, and he's got a whole collection starting for that, and that's going to be great. And you know, we have just, we've got so much stuff lined up. I'm excited to take pies. I don't know how many pies I'm going to take, but I'm excited. And the response to this event has been tremendous. I mean, a tremendous response so far. A lot of people are interested. The weather is starting to look better going into it. I think the weather's not going to be an issue. Certainly not going to see snow as far as I'm seeing. So we're excited.
I think you're going to end up with thousands. Yeah, I think you're going to end up with thousands of people there. I'm going to give you a little bit of advice with the whipped cream pies to the face. Maybe just have somebody vetting them, make sure nobody's putting a brick in there. You know, we have an infiltrator come in and you get that brick fried.
I'm a little nervous about.
Be aware of that. No, that's great. So to wrap this up, what can people do out there to support the Long Island Lab Majority? I know you have a website, you have a Facebook, you have apparel on the website. Just let everybody know who's watching and listening where to go to visit, to either, you know, purchase a shirt or whatever it is you have, or just to get involved to support you guys. What can they do?
All right, so obviously if you want to buy a shirt, you want to buy merch, that's great. Money goes a long way, obviously. That's not what it's about, but if you want to do it, that's what you can do. The biggest thing, when this goes for Twitter, this goes for Facebook, this goes for Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are. Likes are great. I love likes. Please, please, please share the content. If you like it. If you don't like it, tell me. I don't like it. What can I do better? I'm always looking to get better. But if you can hit the like button, you can also just please, you don't know how much it'll break these algorithms. Share the content. You see a tweet, you want to hit the heart, that's cool. Hit the little retweet next to it also. You're on TikTok, you want to hit the heart, that's great. Share it to someplace. Do edit.
Spread the word.
You want to go on Facebook, you want to hit the like button, you want to comment, that's good. It takes more work to comment. Share it. Say, hey, just check these guys out. Invite your friends, your like-minded friends. You got liberal friends, don't invite your liberal friends. We don't need them. Unless they want to see what we're all about, then bring them down. Sure. That's fine. Facebook, Long Island Loud Majority. Our group, LILM 2.0, is shadow banned like you wouldn't believe. You have to look for it on Google. It's a whole thing. Okay? Twitter, at LI Loud Majority. Parler, at LI Loud Majority. Instagram, at Long Island Loud Majority. YouTube.com/Long Island Loud Majority. And the website where all this is on, the shirts, the flags, is officialloudmajority.com. Anything you guys could do. Sign up for the newsletter. Which we're getting ready to start pushing because we've accumulated quite a list. Sign up for the newsletter, share the page, share the content, mash those share and retweet buttons. That's how we keep our word going strong. That's how we reach more people. That's the secret sauce. If we could do that, we're going to grow like you've never seen before.
Listen, everything you just mentioned, I'm going to have in the show notes, all the links to the social media and the website for Long Island Loud Majority. Check them out. Share, like, follow, invite your friends, tell someone about it. The Long Island area, city area, everywhere in New York. It's going to get bigger. We're going to take back New York, hopefully get this pompous ass out of our governor's seat. And hopefully we can do some damage like that and get some red seats back on Long Island. Listen, Sean, everything you do is unbelievable. I'm a big supporter. You're gonna see my face on the 14th. I'm gonna promote you as much as I can. Anytime you want, you get in touch with me. You have a platform here, the Great Divide Podcast. This is gonna be on YouTube and all of the major podcast platforms. It was an honor to have you. I can't thank you enough for being here. Thanks for coming, Sean.
Alan, thank you so much for having me on. Give me the link. We'll put it out. We'll blast it everywhere. We'll share it. I can't wait to share this with everybody. I think they're all going to love it.
Absolutely. Thanks again. remember, everybody, just be safe out there. Be kind to each other. Support your law enforcement. Support our military. And most of all, God bless America. We'll see you again soon. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.